Welcome to another edition of the Hawk Off the Press podcast after the final score. I'm John Seppi, joined by Mike Kloss after Iowa's 10-7 win over Northwestern. Unconventional venue, unconventional win, although it seems to be more and more conventional for Iowa these days.
Yeah, I mean, crazy is normal this season. I don't know what other way to put it. To get out gained 8 times in 9 games and to be 7-2 and alone atop first place in the Big Ten West doesn't make any sense. They had, what was it today, 169 yards?
Yeah, that sounds right.
And they won. That doesn't make sense. I mean, that'll get you beat 99 times out of 100 or so, you would think. To pass for 60 yards, was it? I don't know, 65 yards. That's Stone Age stuff. They won. You know, why not? They threw for 38 yards against Wisconsin a few weeks ago and won. When you've got a hellacious defense, you've always got a chance. And the offense did what it had to do on the final drive to give them a chance to win the game in regulation.
And maybe one of the most impressive series of plays kind of went for naught. And I think it was that goal line stand where, okay, Northwestern gets the ball back in great field position again. And they score, but seeing those four plays, I think, was really a show of just how impressive this defense can be.
Yeah, and also don't discount Northwestern's not very good, which is sort of par for the course in the Big Ten West, because you had three teams that were favored to win in that division today who all, you know, fell on their face. I think they are going to make Iowa go to Indianapolis whether it wants to or not, but Iowa was favored in this game and didn't lose. So there's a lot to be said for that.
And now Iowa controls its own destiny, which...
Well, it really doesn't, because that's not what destiny is. People can't control destiny. It's often mistaken by people. I don't know where that came from. Destiny is fate, and people cannot control their own fate.
Well, regardless, if they win out, they go to Indy. If they lose once, we'll see what happens with the rest of the division. So I think that's probably as good, considering how bad the offense has been, this is probably as good of a position to be in for Iowa.
Well, yeah, I mean, 2 weeks ago, they had an absolutely horrendous offensive performance, and they lose at home to Minnesota, and there are some people who will never accept that as a loss, but it's a loss. I looked it up. It's a loss. But now, I mean, you almost hate to look ahead. 3 weeks, there's going to be a lot of goofy stuff that happens. Today typifies it, but I mean, look, Minnesota's a game behind Iowa and still has to play at Ohio State. Forget about it. I don't know what Nebraska or Wisconsin have left, but Wisconsin's behind Iowa in the tiebreaker, so Iowa realistically is 2 games in front of Wisconsin, not 1, with 3 to play. If Iowa wins 2 out of 3, I think it's going to Indy. And as you just said, if it sweeps, it's going, baby.
Yeah. And you know, it's a great point that you brought up earlier, that this is not a fantastic Northwestern team. I think they surprised Maryland last week, but...
They've overachieved with 4 wins. I mean, I never saw this team winning 4 games, period. But their offense is dreadful. I mean, their defense, I don't know how good their defense is. But it doesn't matter, you know? I mean, this was the same thing as week after week after week. You knew this was going to be a slog. It was a slog, and they found a way to win.
Almost the metaphor, I think, kind of toward the end was that big divot on the 2-yard line, where it was an ugly game, but Iowa got the job done. That was an ugly hole in the middle of the field. But it was a win for Iowa.
Yeah, that looked like something that they need to go see a surgeon about. That was disgusting.
And even when you look on the field afterward, you could see how, you know, that was not much. You know, they just put some dirt on that. But
yeah, I mean, it's a baseball park. It's not manicured for football, and there hadn't been any kind of activity here in a month. And, yeah, they tore it up good, but... You know, overall, I think it was really fun. The fun experience for the fans. I think the Iowa fans loved this. The ones who came here.
Oh yeah, it was a unique environment, and something that you just don't see very often.
No, the atmosphere outside the stadium in the few hours before the game was, you know, the bars and the bar and grills around the place that surround this thing were packed. People were in, had sort of put aside the week of ugliness with the news with Iowa, the coordinator getting sacked, and the heels of the last game, which left a sour taste in everybody's mouth, and they come here and they had a good time, and then they made a lot of noise in the ballpark, and they dominated. I mean, it was Northwestern's home game, and that's the biggest joke of all time. 4 out of every 5 fans were wearing black and gold. So I think that I think you have a lot of people who are headed home Saturday night or Sunday morning who feel glad that they came.
Kurt Ferentz might be the one person who's not so keen on playing football games in baseball stadiums. He seemed to reiterate that in his post game.
It's probably a little better experience for the fans, quite frankly, than the participants as far as logistics. It's cool to be in Wrigley Field. I'm not minimizing that. Appreciate history, but hoping as we move forward that the league comes up with a policy where both teams have to co-sign. Seems like that'd be a fair thing to do, and I imagine somebody's still probably thinking about that now. So
yeah, I mean, he was wary of it earlier in the week, and it posed some dangers to players with the brick wall and so forth. But they haven't had football on a regular basis here since 1970 or so with the Bears, and even then it was no good for football. So you have two teams on the same sideline, something's not quite right. But you know what? I don't care. So what? It beat the hell out of yet another trip to decaying Ryan Field at Northwestern that the school's trying so hard to get renovated, and the people of Evanston don't want renovated because it's going to interfere with their lives.
That was the next point I was going to bring up too, with it. Like, you're comparing, the comparison is this versus Ryan Field. This is a much cooler environment.
Yeah, I mean, but it's kind of thing, okay, you did it once, you may not want to do it again. Slow. So let somebody else have that particular pleasure. It's rearview mirror stuff now. Iowa, I mean, it's the same story every week. You take nothing for granted, and that they play Rutgers. And, you know, ever since Rutgers got in the Big Ten, basically, you just assume any game with Rutgers is a win. This year, not so much. Rutgers is 6-3. Greg Schiano has got them improved and in the right direction. Today, they were ahead of Ohio State at halftime before the Buckeyes pulled away. And if Iowa doesn't play, you know, if Iowa plays giveaway against Rutgers Saturday, it's going to get beat.
Mm-hmm.
If the defense isn't at its usual extremely high level, Iowa will get beat. So there's nothing to take for granted, and that's the way I like it.
No, it's going to be every game is going to be, I think, a slim margin for error. There's a slim margin for error today, and I think maybe you get one blowout, but probably not. I think you're going to see more of just more of these kind of narrow, grinded out, one possession, maybe two possession games. Just because when you don't have this offense doing really much of anything, that's what this team is really built to do. And that's how they can win, is through these close, ugly, not pretty, but a win is a win type of games.
Yeah, you had several individuals who showed up. I mean, Caleb Brown, a guy who you've wondered, I know, why hasn't he been playing? Well, he hasn't been playing because he hasn't gotten it. But he makes a 23-yard catch on that last drive that gave him a chance to win.
You take that out, and it's a much different
last they're going to
drive.
Overtime.
Yeah.
You know, Ostrenga, the tight end, I don't know what if he was third team or fourth team or how they determine or describe it before the season, but they didn't expect to be using this guy.
No. Not to the level that they used.
No, I mean,
today.
You had Luke Lachey and Eric All. You were better set up at tight end than any team in the Big Ten and like few others in the country. But here's this guy, a sophomore from Sun Prairie, Wisconsin, and he catches a touchdown. And he had a couple other catches. You had Antonio Thompson, a name that I was not familiar with because I wasn't around when they played Western Michigan and he blocked a punt. He blocks another one today and he sets up their touchdown. If he doesn't block that kick, if he just misses it, who knows if Iowa scores anything on that drive. And then, of course, you have the quarterback who had never taken a college snap before this season. He's been getting a lot of ridicule and criticism from the outside world, which is unfortunate because he's the number two guy, and he hasn't played college ball. He didn't play his senior year of high school because of the COVID thing in California. And he's just trying to get it done, you know, and the guy is, you know, he's trying.
Yeah, I thought it was a better performance today, but still there were some turnover-worthy plays that I think you just still can't afford to have.
Right, and look, we all can see, he's green as grass,
mm-hmm.
but he's the best they've got, and they're riding with him, and I like his attitude. I mean, I've liked his attitude since the spring game. I just think that he's a guy who can let all the water run off his back and still just keep coming back for more. And good for him.
Yeah, the counterpoint there is if, you know, he has that almost interception, that could have been a pick six.
Yeah.
So it could have gone some different ways pretty quickly. And
sure, it was a 10-7 game, you know. I mean,
yeah.
They had less than 200 yards in the offense. I mean, at halftime, it's nil-nil, and Iowa's only got, what, 81 yards? And they've got way more than Northwestern.
Yeah, that was high for that halftime score.
It's just ludicrous. I've never seen anything like it in all my years covering college football. These kinds of games, they're bizarre. And it's more than just Iowa, you know. There's not a team in the Big Ten West averaging 25 points a game. All seven of their coordinators should be getting fired.
Well, after this, I guess last thought here, after, you know, the news of Brian Ferentz's upcoming dismissal, this is kind of, I think, a palate cleanser for Iowa fans a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, everybody knows what they are, and it's now it's like, well, just okay, but sit back and enjoy the ride and see if they can hang on to first place. You know, I mean, you're two-thirds of the way done with the conference season, and you're in first place, and Iowa has been a pretty salty November team by and large.
Yeah.
In fact, they've won 17 of their last 19 November games now. One that sticks in the craw was Nebraska last year. But if you look over the last 4 or 5 years, mighty good in November. And today was, you know, yet another example. I mean, I'm not saying they were mighty good today, but they were successful today.
Yeah, they had the most, they had the positive outcome at
the
end of the day.
They had the most
points.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other stuff, you know, we can nitpick, but
yeah,
that's the one
yeah.
that matters the most.
It is. And that's the way they look at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's win, you know. We're free to dissect and dice-slice whatever Waffle House does, you know. but they want to win. and today, win they did.
Yes. Well, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Hawk Off the Press podcast. Until next time, we will talk Hawks later.
Get a daily update from the Gazette with our daily news podcast. Add it to your podcast player or your Alexa-friendly device to get a bite-sized local news update each day. Check it out at thegazette.com/podcasts.